God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Liberty University President Jerry Falwell Jr. recently took the mainstream media to task. He had received heavy criticism for keeping the huge Lynchburg, Virginia campus open in March at the height of the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you for tuning in. This is Pastor Larry, and this is the Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. Falwell said the school focused on online classes in the final weeks of this semester, while keeping regular on-campus hours for the approximately 1,200 students who return to the dorms after the spring break. "We have a campus built for 16,000, Falwell said. 1,200 students came back to stay in the dorms for 7 weeks, and they were students who either did not have high-speed internet, had elderly relatives living at home, or were international students, and they had no place else to go." Falwell said he disagrees with plans by other academic institutions to cancel on-campus instruction in the fall, saying they have an obligation to their students. As of Tuesday, May 19th, the Virginia Department of Health had confirmed 75 cases of COVID-19 in Lynchburg, a city of more than 75,000 people. Liberty's residence halls closed for summer break early in May, but Falwell said that nobody who lived in a campus residence hall or who worked in a campus office tested positive for the virus.
My guest today is none other than Dr. Larry Spargimeno. We traded sides of the microphone once again, and it's always a pleasure to interview Larry. And we're going to be discussing one of my favorite films of all time. I was only 16 years of age when this film came out, Larry, and that is The Ten Commandments. Mm. It's a fabulous film. There may be some things in it that we probably wouldn't think was straight down the line with our teaching and so forth, but all in all, it's a fantastic film, won a lot of awards and so forth, and it starred Charlton Heston, who's been in many things, Ben Hur. He was even president of the NRA for a while, and Yul Brynner as Ramses. Both of these, they paired these guys up. I mean, this is exactly what that film needed. They both did a tremendous job. So to start with, tell us something about the award-winning film and that we're actually offering this to our listeners. We had a chance to get our hands on this and as a premium, and we'd like to discuss it and offer this to people. So, Larry, give us an idea of what this film's all about.
Yeah, and I should say they've got some techniques, and I've seen what it was like without the technique and the way it is now. So what our listeners are going to get is really unbelievable, unbelievably well. But The Ten Commandments, as you've pointed out, is one of the most revered films of all times. It follows the Bible generally. In 1999, the film was selected for preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress. And they said it was, quote, culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. So as you've pointed out. Now, in June of 2008, the American Film Institute revealed its top 10 best 10 films in 10 American film genres after polling over 1,500 people. The film was listed as the 10th best film in the epic genre. Network television has aired the film in primetime during the Passover Easter season every year since 1973. It's just amazing, and it's really a great film.
Yeah, this thing was produced in 1956, and so many people didn't see it in the theaters. They saw it later when it came out on DVDs or the tape that we used to get. But Cecil B. DeMille, he was a fantastic guy. They don't make them like him or Walt Disney anymore with the characters that they were. But he had a major role in directing and producing the film. I remember him coming out on the stage. So tell us something about this Hollywood icon.
Well, he's one of the founders of the Hollywood motion picture industry and certainly one of the most commercially successful producer directors of his time. It's interesting. I think in 1923, he produced an earlier film, also, The Ten Commandments. And we are offering our listeners the 1956 film titled The Ten Commandments. Now, Bob, between 1914 and 1956, Cecil B. DeMille made 70 feature films, all but seven were profitable. That's pretty good at the beginning of the modern era. The name Cecil B. DeMille is synonymous with religious epics such as The King of Kings, Samson and Delilah, and The Ten Commandments. DeMille was kind of a genius in his area. He created new positions in filmmaking such as story editor, art director, and concept artist. DeMille was one of the first to use theatrical lighting on a movie set. And in the 1920s, when Hollywood converted to sound films, DeMille defied the sound experts of his day. He did something they didn't think was a good idea, but it really worked out well. He liberated the camera from a booth and implemented the microphone boom. You know, it made movies much more real and lifelike, and it really was a real advance in movie making. DeMille was a hardworking, success-oriented individual. Actually, he had a heart attack after climbing 130 feet to check a faulty camera that was perched on one of the giant gates. You know how you've seen the movie, so he went up there. He had a heart attack. Well, he took 2 days off and returned to work on the third day against the advice of his doctor. And he said, I'm going to finish this film. And he did. So he was, I would think he's a genius in that area.
Well, you know, producing a film such as this in that day, without all the modern techniques and the digital controls and all this, how in the world did they do it? It was all on-time stuff. It wasn't some future something. They did it real-time, and with all the people they worked with in Egypt and so forth, this was a modern thing in its day. And even in 1956, this is far above and ahead of anything that had been produced.
Right, and even the musical score, it's real music. It's an orchestra.
Right.
I know something about
music.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The themes are, there is a leitmotif that comes through like in a Wagnerian opera. I mean, it's really well done. Yeah. And there's an interlude, there's an intermission, there's also an overture, like in an opera, before the curtain goes up. So that's tremendous.
Yeah, well, I've been to Egypt a couple of times and seen a lot of stuff, especially the Nile River. And everybody in Egypt lives within a stone's throw of the Nile, I think. That they live right on it. But this is a fantastic film. Charlton Heston played Moses. He was a conservative commentator and he also supported conservative causes even till his death. He did. He was very conservative. A lot of people wouldn't understand or believe that, but he was very conservative. Tell us something about Charlton Heston.
Well, he was elected, actually, the first vice president of the National Rifle Association in 1997, and then he was elected president of the NRA for five terms from, I think it was 1998 to 2003. Heston said this. I love the quote. Here's my credo. There are no good guns. There are no bad guns. A gun in the hands of a bad man is a bad thing. Any gun in the hands of a good man is no threat to anyone except bad people. Close quote. I agree with that.
That's great. That's a great quote.
So he played in religious films such as The Ten Commandments, 1956, Ben-Hur, 1959, and The Greatest Story Ever Told, 1965. And there's several anecdotes about him. But he was very good friends with Kirk Douglas, who was a liberal. He was on the left side, but Charlton Heston and Kirk Douglas, they were the best of friends. So I guess they enjoyed each other, even though they theologically and politically disagree with each other.
Well, you know, the creeds that they had then, the National Review Board, which started in 1933, which prior to that had bad language and nudity. And then it went till 1966, I believe, when it was removed. They no longer reviewed it. And on this board, there was ministers and so forth to listen, to watch, make sure there was no profanity, nudity, suggestive sentences and so forth. But this was made right in the midst of all of that. And so this is a clean movie.
Yes.
So tell us about the theme of the movie. It is so important in our time.
Well, at the opening of the film, and this gives me goosebumps, it's so up to date. At the opening of the film, Cecil B. DeMille said this, quote, "The theme of the film is whether man is to be ruled by God's law or by the whims of a dictator." And then he went on and said, "Are men the property of the state or are they free souls under God?" Close quotes. You know, Cecil B. DeMille was a man who understood the issues that we face all the time, tyranny or freedom. And of course, The Constitution of the United States has been the supreme law of the nation since it was adopted in September of 1787. The first U.S. Congress ratified 10 amendments, which became known as the Bill of Rights. These are the rights of the people. These amendments are to protect people from the government. And I need to say it again. These are to protect people from the government. The Democratic Party, Bob, has missed that. They want a big government that does everything for you. But as President Reagan once said, the government that can give you everything can also take everything away. And I think Cecil B. DeMille showed a great deal of insight into this. Actually, his mother was Jewish and his father was a lay minister and also a playwright. So there's a video clip of Cecil B. DeMille at the very opening. He comes out, the curtain is still closed. He takes the mic. He's very well dressed. He says some really insightful things. I was just to see that. I said, wow, here's somebody in 1956 who understands one of the problems of the ages. It's always tyranny. Government wants to concentrate power. And they take more and more and more until there has to be a revolution. And that's the way it goes.
So you're saying Pharaoh was a liberal.
And I'm saying Pharaoh was like so many people that we have today in the 20th and 21st century.
Yeah, the kings. You know, a lot of people want a king in this country. We don't need a king. We have a king.
Right.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And right. He's going to take his place, I think, very, very soon.
Yes.
So what is the importance of the Ten Commandments as we have them in the Bible?
Well, the Ten Commandments are the basic moral laws of God that apply to all people everywhere. If we disobey those laws, we cannot be successful as individuals or successful as a nation. And I would back that statement up that I've just made by look at the United States in 2020. We've disobeyed those laws. We're in a mess. And there are people out there who refuse to get right with God, who refuse to put themselves under the authority of God, and look what we have. We have a mess. Actually, the moral requirements of the Ten Commandments are found in the Bible before the Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments represent kind of a summary of God's moral requirements. They codify divine moral law. And one of the things that we found out, you know, you've got to live according to God's standards. You know, if you fight God's standards, you lose. So we've got homosexual marriage. We've got people sleeping around, committing adultery, confused kids. They're not raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And all of this has come upon us, as Solzhenitsyn said, because we have forgotten God. And this is, I think, the Ten Commandments. It's the moral law of God that's codified and put before us. The funny thing about it, we can't obey them perfectly. That's why we need Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ works in us and makes us willing and able to obey and follow the Lord, even though not perfectly. We need His Spirit, His strength, His blessings every day. But this is the standard that we have to reach for.
I think this movie, and as a whole, kind of brings you back to reality.
Yes.
To the basics of Scripture and the Bible. That's the greatest story, the storyline. And it really happened. This is not some fictitious play that was drawn up in Hollywood or written in Hollywood. This really happened. Now, I know it's a movie about what really happened, but this is based on fact. There was a Moses. There was a Pharaoh. And all of these individuals that took place. And what happened to Moses on the mount with the burning bush and so forth. That really happened. And all this is portrayed in the movie, I think, in great detail. I thought they did a fantastic job. And it's one of my favorite movies, and certainly we invite others to rejoin us, so to speak, in reviewing this movie. If you don't have a copy, well, we have a copy for you.
Right.
So what is the importance of the Ten Commandments? Well, it brings us back to reality, I think. So we have a couple of minutes left, Larry. Just give us a brief summary of what took place in the Ten Commandments.
Well, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. There are many gods, evil gods, deceptive gods, but we don't worship them. We have the one true and living God. The second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. We're not to make any physical representations of God. If they do, if people do, people will worship that image, but that image is not God. The image is always less than who and what God is. That's why we can't make and we can't represent God, so we better not try. That's the whole idea. The third commandment, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't use God's name in an empty, meaningless way. You know, a lot of times you and I, we've worked on construction crews. We hear the name of the Lord many times as being used in a vain and empty way. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We are to honor God with our time, especially on the day of worship to God and fellowship with one another. Then the fifth commandment, very important, honor thy father and thy mother. That doesn't happen too much today. The family is vitally important to the successfulness of any nation. We are to respect our parents by honoring them. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. That means you shall not murder. You must not take a life unlawfully. All killing is not murder. There is a place for self-defense. The seventh commandment, this is another important one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The Bible tells us that the marriage bed is to be kept holy and undefiled. Marriage is an exclusive relationship between one man and one woman. That will never change. Eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. What God has given to each individual belongs to that individual. The forced redistribution of wealth and property by socialist governments is condemned by God. It is stealing. The ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. Don't lie about your neighbor. And then the tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet. This means that we should not even desire to have something that is not ours. It is stealing in the heart. Now, you know, interesting, Bob, is the fact that Paul was a very righteous person, but this was the commandment that convicted Saul of Tarsus. He realized that he did covet and did desire things. So, man, the Ten Commandments, this is the moral law of God. This is a reflection of the character of God, and we need to obey these commandments and not take the Ten Commandments down from classroom walls. It's just absolutely maniacal that people would do that.
Thank you, Larry. You know, we're out of time, but I think this is something that's fantastic. A family film for homeschoolers and so forth, if they've never seen it, certainly they're going to ask questions, and they need to ask questions. And so you need to be up on your Bible when you show this film. But it's a fantastic a movie. It's a long movie, but it's very good. And we have a copy out there for everyone that would like a copy. And Matthew is going to tell us just how to get that copy.
Boy, the graphics in this movie for the year 1956 are amazing. This is perfect for those folks that are stuck at home still. You can have a DVD copy of this Academy Award-winning movie, The Ten Commandments, for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States, and $55 if you live in Canada. To get your copy, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. You can also order yours by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order anytime on our website at swrc.com. We also have the DVD titled KJB, The Book That Changed the World. You can have a copy of this amazing DVD for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both DVDs, The Ten Commandments, and KJB, The Book That Changed the World, for a gift of $30. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the web address is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry. Here is a special report by Jerry Tyson.
On Sunday, May 17, 2020, the London Daily Mail announced President Trump and his administration are finally cracking down on the massive social media platforms for illegally attempting to silence and censor the American people. According to the report, President Trump has just confirmed his administration is taking action to stop the monopoly social media companies have over free speech in America. On Twitter, Trump officially announced, quote, "The radical left is in total command and control of Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Google. The administration is working to remedy this illegal situation. Stay tuned and send names and events. According to the report by the Daily Mail, the Justice Department is expected to officially file its case against Google as early as summer. It's expected that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton may also take action in the fall, along with his peers in other states, according to the report. Needless to say, owners of social media companies are very worried about what might happen when Trump investigates their actions. For years now, companies like Facebook and Google have done everything in their power to silence conservative voices in America. They target right-wing news websites and right-wing politicians. Facebook even made changes recently that makes it harder for news websites to show up on people's phones.
In Acts 2, God promises to pour out His Spirit on our sons and daughters. Quote, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams," we read in verse 17. In her book, Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox, Why the Unreachables May Be Key to the Next Great Awakening, author Allie Anderson shows how young adults have a tremendous potential for affecting significant change in the culture. Keith Green and his wife Melody Green were part of that prophecy, along with so many other young people who had been impacted by the awakening under Chuck Smith and Greg Laurie that started in the 1970s in California and moved eastward. Keith Green was a talented secular musician who signed his first record deal at the age of 11. His teen years were spent in a tumultuous search for meaning that led him to drugs, Eastern mysticism, and free love. After meeting and marrying a woman named Melody, Keith Green met Jesus. Keith Green's life was radically changed. He and Melody opened their home to the lost, addicted people who needed a place to get off drugs, homeless people who needed shelter, just about anyone who was in need. All were welcome to stay at what was later dubbed the Greenhouse. It was a place where people could grow in the Lord and flourish like well-watered plants in a greenhouse.
Keith Green grew in the Christian faith, wrote songs, and was known for his passionate pursuit of God. He had a John the Baptist-type ministry, calling believers to wake up, repent, and live a consistent Christian life. He even said that had it not been for hypocritical Christians, he may have personally come to Christ sooner than he did. Keith Green wrote and sang about his relationships with Jesus, sometimes with brutal honesty and complete vulnerability. He wrote a song titled, "My Eyes Are Dry." The words go like this: "My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be, live to you and dead to me."
Keith Green's frustration was not just about himself. He sang about complacent believers and church members who were lukewarm and who fit the biblical description of the church at Laodicea. One of his songs was especially confrontational. It was entitled, "Asleep in the Light." Do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? Keith Green died in a plane crash in 1982, but his wife Melody became one of the early leaders of the pro-life movement. She produced a video documentary on the biblical basis for the pro-life movement. It is very graphic and comes with a warning. Melody presented the film to President Ronald Reagan. The president responded with a personal letter how deeply he and his wife were moved by the film. As Allie Anderson points out in her book, young people and millennials are often harshly criticized, yet she also points out that they are looking for meaning and purpose and want to be part of a significant movement for good.
That's right, Pastor Larry. Young people are examining America's abortion-on-demand policy. They are part of the coming civil war in America over the issue of abortion. Ohio, Kentucky, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, along with Utah, have passed or are in the process of passing strong pro-life bills. NBC and other major media outlets call them anti-abortion bills. On the flip side, New York, Virginia, Kansas, and now Illinois have passed or ruled on new bills that are the most extreme pro-abortion laws in our country's history. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom is inviting women to come to California to have an abortion.
Well, Marvin, intense conflict and the sharp division in the United States over these moral and religious issues is a good sign. We are not going away, and we are growing stronger. While state after state is standing for life, many states are standing for death, even allowing for things as barbaric as partial birth abortion, along with refusing to guarantee medical care for babies who survive abortion. Pray that as the pro-choice crowd reveals its true agenda, the ugliness of it all will strengthen the resolve of the pro-life community.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Boy, the graphics in this movie for the year 1956 are amazing. This is perfect for those folks that are stuck at home still. You can have a DVD copy of this Academy Award-winning movie, The Ten Commandments, for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $55 if you live in Canada. To get your copy, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. You can also order yours by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order anytime on our website at swrc.com. We also have the DVD titled KJB, The Book That Changed the World. You can have a copy of this amazing DVD for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both DVDs, The Ten Commandments, and KJB, The Book That Changed the World, for a gift of $30. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the web address is swrc.com. Perhaps this is the first time you have heard this program. Maybe you've listened for a while and you like this program and look forward to it, but have never called or written in. We invite you to do that today. In fact, for those that call or write today and say, "Jesus is Lord, please send me the DVD," we will send you a complimentary DVD of our TV show we call The Journey. If you like the radio program, wait till you see the video version. It was banned by some TV stations as being too controversial. Since when did the truth become controversial? The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. And the website is swrc.com. Thanks for being with us today. Be sure to join us Monday as we begin a new series here on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.